Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Always a pleasure and never a dull moment here at The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. And brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production. And our very special guest today, out of Oakland, California, it's Simon Thornycroft, an international branding and strategic design expert, visionary, I should say. We will tell you more about Simon and what he is all about and his company as well, called Perspective Branding. It's perspectivebranding.com. We've also got Jeremy Kent with us, our European reporter as well. Jeremy brings us weekly updates on what's happening around the world, specifically around Europe and so forth. So it's great to have Jeremy as a part of the show. Jean Bliss is with us too. She's our customer experience person. I Love You More Than My Dog is her book, and it really relates a whole bunch of great customer experience stories. This week, it's all about the Container Store and what a great job they do. Basically, her philosophy here is what they do is bend over backwards, and we hope that you do that for your customers as well. Also want to say thanks to Rebus Software, a new sponsor of The Advertising Show. Rebus is providing a killer agency software. And you can check it out at Rebus.com is the website there, I think. Is that right, Brad? I sure hope I'm right about
Rebus-software.
Rebus-software.com. And, of course, you'll hear their commercial. So just in case you want to hear that as well, we hope you do. So all in all, a great show. As again, we'll tell you a little bit more about Simon and his company, Perspective Branding, here in just a moment. You know, years ago in the restrooms that we visited around the world, you would usually find advertisements on the stalls, on the wherever else they can put them.
Yes.
And what they're looking at now is mirror ads in your face.
While you're in the bathroom?
While you're in the bathroom, basically. Well, the good news is, you know, you check for the mustard on your tie or the spinach between your teeth, and, of course, somebody comes out and talks to you. Basically, the Toronto firm has given in-your-face advertising a whole new twist. It's called Ad Mirror Canada, and that's ADD Mirror Canada LTD, the latest ad company to infiltrate the last marketing frontier. I wouldn't suggest that's the last marketing frontier. There's probably a few others. The public washroom, but unlike the ubiquitous framed ads on stall doors, the concept is on the mirror, printed on a film between two-way glass. Oh, that's a scary thought. The ad images appear vividly when backlit by strong LED lighting, and the custom software runs a sequence of images of a 20-second loop. The whole thing is dormant until a person moves toward the sink and the mirrors. Then the water goes off and the soap squirts. Then a motion sensor starts and the ad does its thing. A great ad is all about telling a great story, says Ad Mirror President Elliot Atkins, who brought the Canadian rights to the Mirror product in 2008 from the UK parent company. So, AdMirror has, but there's 160 mirrors in 80 restaurants and lounges in Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver, with Calgary locations launching this month as well. So, it's kind of cool.
To my way of thinking, AdMirror CEO or, you know, sales manager, whoever, needs to get those mirrors in and around the retirement community in those areas and have the prostate meds in the bathroom and have the ads something along the lines for, you know, those people that are frequently going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Did you realize that if you took this particular, you know, pharmaceutical, you may not be in here as often?
I could just see the ads. Well, hello, it's you again.
Yeah.
Hey.
What are you doing in here again? You just were in here not so long ago. But I am glad you're washing your hands.
You're wasting water. Stop dripping.
Stop drinking water, and maybe you will stop dripping.
So, you know, all in all, this could get really interesting, folks. So, I don't have a problem with that. I love the fact that when you can come up with something new and something different, why not go for it?
We've said it for a long time here on the show. Somebody needs to be sponsoring those pads that you have to stand on and take your shoes off to walk through the airport security. My wife was in Mexico, by the way, recently, coming back through security, and she said everywhere there were signs posted saying leave your shoes on. Do not remove your shoes. So only in
Really?
Mexico would they remind people, leave your shoes on. I
Brought
don't know why. I don't understand it, but that's what they want everybody to do.
Brought to you by Lysol. Absolutely. I'll tell you more about Simon Thornycroft here in just a moment and his company, Perspective Branding, with Rain Brad on the Advertising Show. We are ready for a report from our European correspondent, Jeremy Kent. Let's listen.
Hello and welcome to the European News Desk. I'm Jeremy Kent. This week, global TV brands invest millions in what's been dubbed a 3D summer. Credit Suisse urges investment in brand-building companies, and Jude Law and Guy Ritchie team up for a new Christian Dior ad. But first, TV is riding the 3D wave, and manufacturers such as Sony, Panasonic, Samsung, and LG are pouring millions of dollars into promoting their new 3D televisions. Each is pushing hard to become the market leader ahead of this summer's Soccer World Cup finals, which will be shot in 3D for the first time. Since James Cameron's movie Avatar, 3D has been gathering momentum, and Sky Television is the network that is leading the way in broadcast platforms. Sony is all set to leverage its position as an official sponsor of the World Cup, although most of its activity is believed to be focused on Japan. Back in the UK, Samsung's $10 million British TV campaign will break on April 29, using the strapline, A New Definition of TV, while Panasonic has opted to sponsor 3D cinema showings through a $7.5 million deal with the message, Put Your Glasses On. The long-held truth that companies that invest in their brands during a recession has been proved right once again. We all know it to be true, yet so many companies seem to shy away from action. But now, new evangelists are taking up the cause. Back in January, Deutsche Bank issued a note to investors entitled The Importance of Advertising and Promotions. Concluding its own research, Deutsche wrote that companies which continue to invest in marketing grow faster, with this trend being amply demonstrated during the financial downturn. Now, Credit Suisse is advising investors to build portfolios around companies that focus heavily on marketing strategy and brand building. Its report, called The Power of Brand Investing, says that a brand is often overlooked by financial markets, yet it is one of the few remaining true competitive advantages. Okay, while this isn't news to marketeers and their agencies, a growing realization within the financial community of a brand's ability to generate wealth can only be good for all of us. Christian Dior is set to launch a new fragrance and has turned to British director Guy Ritchie to shoot a new commercial. The ad features Jude Law and was shot close to the Eiffel Tower in Paris last month. This will be the third Dior TV ad that Law has appeared in the last 2 years, and he revives his partnership with Ritchie that was forged over the recent Sherlock Holmes film. Since 2007, Law has also been a brand ambassador for menswear and accessories company Alfred Dunhill. I'm a fan of both those guys, and I'm looking forward to seeing the new work soon. From London, this is Jeremy Kent reporting for The Advertising Show.
Jeremy, thanks you so much here at The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Let me tell you all about, or at least what time will allow me to tell you all about, Simon Thornycroft out of California. Simon is an international branding and strategic design expert slash visionary, one of the most knowledgeable design strategist and corporate identity experts in the U.S. and Europe. As founder of Perspective Branding, he has a keen understanding of many critical, often controversial issues relating to commercial art, packaging, environmental design, and retail appeal. We might even ask him about the mirrors. Having been the youngest creative director for Lander Associates, one of the world's leading strategic brand consulting and design firms, as well as a corporate background stateside at Morningstar Farms and Dean Foods, Simon has firsthand experience in one of the strongest and resilient industries that create household names. 15 years of experience, he directs a talented group of forward-thinking designers and brand strategists as the chief creative officer for Perspective Branding. As we told you before, that is at perspectivebranding.com. That is, by the way, one of the California Bay Area's most underrated and independent strategic design consultancies. His design work has garnered multiple awards, including the 08... the Silver Pet Award for packaging design for the work on Doritos Quest, as well as Graphic Design USA's American Package Design Award for both Doritos and Pleo. And basically, there's more, but as I said before, we're out of time. Good thing is we've got a few segments to talk with Simon here at the Advertising Show. It's being brought to you by advertising agents, we said, and also one of our partners, Shipple. Shipple.com is an incredibly powerful marketing platform, web-based marketing platform. It uses a thing called Tenancy. They got a whole bunch of other stuff on the website, too, that you wouldn't believe. Killer stuff. And it works, believe me. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. And this gang do a great job here for the Advertising Show. And we say thanks, Ed. We'll be back with Ray and Brad and Simon here in just a moment on the Advertising Show.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth.
Nobody can call George Whipple an old fuddy-duddy. This new sign is right up with the times. Maybe this will stop the ladies from squeezing Charmin bathroom tissue.
His bio says it, it must be true. And indeed, I believe it is too. The PerspectiveBranding.com is the website. Simon Thornycroft, one of the most knowledgeable design strategists and corporate identity experts in the U.S. and Europe. And we are pleased to have you here at The Advertising Show. Simon, welcome to The Ad Show.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, first off, Simon, Ray gave us a little background on you. Why don't we give us some background on Perspective Branding? What are your services? Who are a few of your more high-profile clients, and just a little bit of the run-of-the-mill things that are going on at your shop.
Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, we started Perspective Branding really 5 years ago now. So, as you said, I worked for Landor and was very fortunate to work there, but kind of really wanted to do something a little smaller, a bit back to grassroots, and doing what I do, you know, best, which is rolling up sleeves, getting in there with the clients, and wrestling through these problems on a one-to-one basis. And we've been very lucky that one of our large clients, PepsiCo, have followed some of their business over to us, and so you know they remain a client. You know, I personally have worked with them now since 1994, so all around the world, and we support most of their packaging in snacks in something like 26 countries now. So you know, for us, it's really about. I think there's a challenge as you work in larger organisations. No slight to any of them, but. It becomes more complicated to just do things in a simpler way because there's organization and process that must be put in place around a large organization. But for us, it means you know, we're making decisions, we can do things the way we want to do it. And for us, that means manifesting itself in how our studio operates and the kind of people that work here and the kind of curious characters that we like to employ, all the way to how we treat our customers on a more personal level and the work we do for them. So, you know, it's the environment that we live in, the people that we work with, and we spend far too much time probably with each other, but also kind of the way that we treat our clients and the fun that we like to have doing to the work we do.
So how much would you say your work is in package design versus product design versus brand design?
I mean, it's hard to separate brand versus packaging. If you, in terms of a traditional corporate identity logo design, I'd say is not the single most greatest thing that we do. Packaging and CPG work is probably 90% of what we do, 80-90% of what we do. But within each of those, you've got to remember that whether you're we're lucky enough to touch a brand like Lay's or Walkers in the UK or Doritos. These are multi-billion-dollar brands, so even when you touch the brand identity or logo in those, you're still talking about rather large, very important pieces of communication for those brands. So, you know, I think it's important. We believe that there's really no difference in how you attack a corporate identity project that's for an airline or all that is for a bag of chips. The same effort requires going in, the same desire for a memorable, brilliant idea at the heart and soul of that brand is still critical. How it plays out and the rules about that you might use to engage people with that brand might be different, but the approach from a creative point of view is exactly the same.
Yeah, I think most of us think of CPG category when we think of package design. So I'm curious, Simon, why do you think industries outside of packaged goods are turning to design teams for help these days?
I think it's just that continued fresh thinking that's just outside of a given category. So I think it's interesting that this sort of renewal of borrowing from one category and put into another, and there's something very tangible about packaging and packaged goods that keeps stuff very real and very gritty. There's nothing better than seeing your work in a sense on the street before you quickly put it in the trash can. But I think there's a reality there. It's fast moving. It's changing all the time. It's very real. It's understanding the every man, and I think bringing that perspective back into perhaps more corporate industry can be very refreshing. And just having that outside expert, you know, perhaps more willing to give a candid point of view without the internal pressures that one might be facing when you need to deal with an issue.
So do you think the trend of those reaching outside of their own area of expertise and looking to design teams for help is a sustainable trend going forward, or is this just something that's been come about, I guess, maybe through less opportunistic times with the economic downturn?
I think there might be a little bit of the economy playing into this, but I think we're at a point in history where for the first time you've got a generation of people that grew up that have been well-trained, who have started perhaps organizations like ourselves that are smaller, a bit more nimble, but have been trained and worked with over enough years with very smart, very bright people that can offer very very reasonable rates for very big thinking. And to a great degree, I think technology has allowed us to do that. It probably would have taken 20 or 30 years to learn the craft to be able to offer the services we do now within a much faster time frame. So I think you've got brilliant people out there that are extremely bright and have a great deal of experience that can offer that, that perhaps would have had to wait till they're 50 or more before to really offer that advice. So I think it will continue, yeah. I think there's a role for the genius of the big company, and you know, we can't, we mustn't forget that. No, I'm certainly not in any sense poo-pooing their party. I think we need those guys because, you know, they have the infrastructure to be really driving the bigger, broader, you know, strategic insights and stuff forward, and the great work that they do. But I think there's equally a role for the sort of nimble, fresh, innovative thinking, that the sort of challenging thinking that smaller agencies can bring too. So I hope it continues. I think it will. I think it's just how we can relate to each other and work together, you know, for the greater good of the industry.
Well, you know, you mentioned everyday man, and I'm going to say that every man's identity, I guess I should say. Something you guys coined at your company, and I'm going to save that for next segment. As we wrap up this segment, just let me get you to weigh in on a question that's really hit me between the eyes when I first realized we were going to be talking to you today. Design seems to be most associated, I think, with the rebranding of a product or company. Yet, I'm curious, what impact can the addition of design have when relaunching or rebranding a product?
I think it's an interesting question. I think it's critical. I mean, it's at the heart of it. I mean, you know, when you're relaunching or rebranding anything, the image that you want to convey, what you want to tell consumers about your brand that you didn't get to say in the focus group, or you wish you were there at point of purchase, point of sale, or whatever that is, has to come through visually, you know, in our world, in design or communication. And so how you say that is such a delicate, you've got such a short, delicate time to build a relationship with any customer or consumer. I think it's at the heart and soul of what you're doing, and you know, combine that with some brilliant advertising, and you know, you're off to the races.
Kind of like a fine dance routine, something like that, all working together to a couple or something. It's Simon Thornycroft, our very special guest out of California this weekend, international branding and strategic design expert, visionary. PerspectiveBranding.com is the website, which we'll talk more about as well in just a minute. We'll continue our conversation here with Ray and Brad on the Advertising Show.
Why do more media professionals read iWantMedia.com? iWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America is asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA.
Out of California, our special guest America's this weekend is international branding and strategic design expert and visionary, Simon Thornycroft, here with Ray and Brad on The Advertising Show. Simon, it is a sincere pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, your firm created this idea that you guys call every man's identity. For our listeners that may not be familiar with it, describe it for us, please, if you would, Simon.
I think, you know, it's interesting that you look at the books that are written on the shelf, you look at the stuff that litters design sites, and, it, you know, I'd say 90-odd percent of it is these overly lavish chocolate box, beautiful wine label stuff. And, you know, I think it's lovely. I have a lot of admiration for the people who have the craft to do that beautiful stuff. But there's something really lovely about the Everyman brand, the Cloroxes of the world, the Lay's potato chips, the Pepsis. And, you know, for us and for me personally, I just think there's something great about working on these brands that we interact with every day that end up in your cupboard every single day that we find in the trash cans on the street and on the billboards, on the T-shirts people wear. And I think it's something about being really close to the people. And I love to go to those focus groups and hear real people talking about real things, not, you know, crazy dreams on golf courses of various CEOs talking to one another. So, you know, that's nice stuff, and I have a lot of admiration for it. But I love getting in there kind of with the, you know, the meat and two veg, the Jamie Oliver style approach to packaging.
Hmm. Any current examples of how a brand is betting on this everyman's interest as you describe it?
I think we've seen that. I mean, certainly as the economy has done its thing over the last 18 months, I think we've continued to see people retrenching a little bit, where people have stepped too far out, that perhaps hasn't worked as well as desired. And there's sort of a little bit of conservatism that's come back. You know, we were very fortunate to work with the Quaker US team. And if you look at what we did there, was put the Quaker brand front and center back on the package. You know, Quaker is such a loved and such an important American brand here. That why wouldn't we be proud about that fantastic brand and putting it front and center on the pack? And so I think there's that retrench to, you know, friends and family, things that are truly important to us. And so getting back to brands that I know, that I trust, and it's important that those brands continue to communicate the things that remain true about that brand. And because that's what I'm looking for, some reassurance in a crazy, crazy, crazy world that we live in today, with so much choice. So I think there has been a movement back to that.
Well, that's an interesting setup for my next question. The so-called retro vintage design idea that I've been reading about. There's an article I came across recently entitled "Complex Times Demand Simpler Packaging," and the author, Simon, suggests that the current economic climate, along with an overcrowded marketplace, has pushed many brands to become more simplistic in package design. I wanted to get your thoughts on the idea that less can actually be more when it comes to package design.
Well, I think there's truth in that. I also think there's myth in that. I think retro is a really dangerous word, because I think these days implies a certain time and to a degree a certain style. But I think there's certainly complete agreement here that what's important is that you get back to the heart and soul of what your brand promises. And so if that's a single message, then great. And that might be a more complex message. So I don't think it's about number of things that you're talking about, but it's about the purity of that and not cluttering that up with wasteful information, and just letting people be reassured that the things that they know and they love about your brand are still true and therefore worth paying more for, or indeed I'd forgotten and maybe lapsed in my interaction with your brand, and so now you've reminded me again of the things that I know and used to love about your brand, or that others in my family bought. But it, you know, I think simple implies that sort of stripped, I want to be Apple and Method style design, sort of European design. And I think there's a danger of just falling into that trap of making stuff look simple and flat, and forgetting that it's really about the message that's being conveyed, the simple, iconic idea, the memorability of an idea of what that brand's really about.
I think the retro concept is very interesting as well, because it certainly means something different to me than it does to Brad, than it does to yourself as well. It's really hard to hard term to define as well.
It just implies going backwards, and I don't think any of us really are about going backwards. I think we're about reinventing good, honest, wholesome values and move them forward in a new way. I don't I don't think any of us really want it to be like it used to be. Yeah. I think we just wish it was some of that goodness we've reinvented today.
Maybe retro is more about the appropriate touch points and such. But it's Ray and Brad here, and Simon Thornycroft, our special guest out of California here at the Advertising Show. Back in just a minute with more.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
It's a real thing in the back of your mind. What you're hoping to find.
One more segment to spend with our friend from California, Simon Thornycroft, international branding and strategic design expert and visionary. Perspective, not prospective, but perspectivebranding.com is the website, and we invite you to check it out. Simon, thanks for being part of the show today.
My pleasure.
Yeah, Simon, returning for a moment to relaunching and rebranding a product, I think, you know, most of us think when it comes to redesigning a product or even a package for that matter, we think of a fairly expensive undertaking. Yet I know your company, and you can see this, by the way, at their website at perspectivebranding.com. Your site has information about how you guys operate and suggests that maybe on more modest budgets you can achieve the same impact as those with deeper pockets. Share with us how we might think in terms of a redesign of a package on a reasonable budget.
I mean, I think the important, I mean, for us, an important thing is that, you know, we don't operate under a fixed process. So it's really about sitting down and meeting a new client or even existing clients and trying to chat through and understanding what the problem is and then creating a process that will work for them within a given budget. So now there's certain things that you might, that you can't extract, otherwise we can't guarantee you're going to get to a great solution at the end of that. So for us, a critical starting piece is just to understand where the marketplace is today, listen as best we can to understand the client's business. And then for us, it all really starts with a really simple, really big idea, because that's the thing for us that could spark marketing ideas in other areas. That could be advertising, that could be print, that could be web. But for us, unless you've got that hook, that idea, that single driving thought behind the brand, it really doesn't matter at that point. So I think for us, that's really critical that we start there. Now, after that, you know, how many rounds of testing, how much refinement, all just becomes a degree of how complex the problem is, whether it's a complete rethink of the brand and relaunch because of change of image, or whether that's just a refreshment of where they are today and a reconfirmation of why that brand is so brilliant. So I think the rest of it starts to flow through according to timing, budget, market needs, and requirements of the brief itself. But unless you know, we start that big idea process of really coming down with a simple, memorable, iconic idea that we can scribble down, we'll pass a sketch test if I throw you some crayons, and a napkin, then the rest of it will just start to fall apart after anyway.
Simon, you've been quoted as saying companies can't rely solely on art to sell products today, yet, you know, who doesn't want to be the next Apple? So, curious, tell us why art doesn't necessarily translate to revenue these days.
I just think, again, it comes back down to what is that message. You know, pretty design in an artistic sense is lovely, and you know, I think you want to hang it on a wall sometimes, but I just don't believe that that's really helping me to understand, you know, not that it can't, but I think for the most part, it doesn't really help me understand why I want to engage with this brand. It's, you know, this is a commercial business, and we need to be communicating very quickly the heart and soul of what the promise of this product, brand, or service is, and that can sometimes be clouded by beauty. Now, if you're in a segment like Apple, then if you control your retail environment and you've got incredibly well-designed products and you've created a fantastic aspirational brand around that, then you're in a very different position than if you are designing a new toilet paper or a new bottle of soda. So, you know, I think you have to sort of take all these things into account, but pretty pictures don't cut it. Hang them on your wall. This is a commercial industry. We better be selling a critical message to the consumers through design.
Unfortunately, we are so out of time. It goes so quickly. You've been a great guest here, and we wish you the very best as you continue to build the PerspectiveBranding.com business as well. Simon, it's been a pleasure having you here.
Thanks for having me.
On the Advertising Show, Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth. In just a moment, we'll do more. Stay with us.
Smart marketers are discovering a new and better way to get creative solutions. One company got solutions for a corporate identity program in less than 36 hours. The second got solutions for a public relations campaign that won 2 international creative awards. The third got solutions for a direct marketing campaign that got a 30% response rate. These marketers are finding creative solutions in a better way, the open ad way. You go to openad.net and gain access to a global brain trust of nearly 11,000 creators. Within days, you get 20 or more creative solutions, and you pay only for the solutions you use. It's a radical new idea. You owe it to yourself to discover what it can mean to have creative solutions on demand. Find out now by going to openad.net, openad.net. Creative solutions on demand.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Button up your overcoat when the wind is free. Take good care of your cold.
This is The Advertising Show. Glad to have you here with Ray and Brad. We've got a special thank you to Simon for being with us. And next week, by the way, it's Scott Belsky, CEO and founder of Behance and author of Making Ideas Happen. So if you have any ideas, you want them to happen, listen to the show and they will magically happen. We forgot to, last week I wanted to touch on an 80th birthday for Advertising Age. They celebrated their 80 years of ideas. And it's kind of interesting to see. That was 1930. Let's see. A problem for consumer marketing, media, and advertising, actually a remarkable opportunity, is what they say. The past, they say, offers key lessons. First, there is never a bad time to launch a great product or company. Think of The Advertising Show when you think about that. The biggest opportunities on the Internet were born of after the dot-com crash. Just ask Google and Facebook, and this is just really interesting how they've gone back here and looked at some things. The best examples, Procter & Gamble, 1931, 1980, and 1994 entries. Last week they said P&G rightfully became the first corporation inducted into the American Advertising Federation's Hall of Fame. AdVage covered the rise of new media again and again and again. Radio went from essentially 0 to 55% household penetration in 12 years, TV to 0.4% to 55 in 6 years, cable 6% to 50 in 19 years, internet broadband penetration from 1.7 to 54% in 8 years. They've tracked the emergence of new technologies, get this, refrigerators, 15% household penetration to 50-plus during the 30s, wireless phones, a 22-year ride from 83 to 50% household penetration. And they've also witnessed how innovators can build remarkable businesses around emerging media and technologies, cable, Ted Turner, refrigerators, Birds Eye Frozen Foods, computers, Bill Gates, and Paul Allen's Microsoft. So happy birthday, or happy anniversary, I should say. That's pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it's really cool, and it reminded me, and I just pulled it up from one of my files here, about a quote from the president of the Michigan Savings Bank. It was advice to Horace Rackman, who was an attorney for Henry Ford in 1903. The advice was, the horse is here to stay. The automobile is only a fad. Rackman ignored the advice and invested $5,000 in Ford stock, selling it a little later for $12.5 million.
How about that?
Yeah.
Was that inside trading or what?
Not always. Yeah, well, not always is it. Back in those days, I'm not sure if they had that or not. But, no. You know, on the other hand, Bill Gates said the Internet is beyond question the fastest growing curve of a fundamental change in society, and almost everyone will have to get used to it. That was back in April 2000. Thank you, Bill Gates.
Yeah, really. Boy, things have changed. What was it like? Well, how did we do things in the olden days? I don't know. I mean, quite frankly, you know, the way that you and I are communicating with each other would boggle one's mind at this particular point. It's quite cool.
Fax me a note and I'll check it out.
Absolutely. I'll facsimile. The Container Store. What a great store. Obviously, it's a great store. That's Gene Bliss is talking about it. Let's see what they're doing right and what you might be doing right as well.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
When the Container Store was building their business in 1978, founders Garrett Boone and Kip Tindall wanted to encourage their employees to bend over backwards for customers and for each other. They wanted to make sure that going the extra mile was core to everybody's actions. So they decided to shorthand this intent by asking everyone to focus on being Gumby. That's right, that dark green clay figure that came alive through stop-motion clay animation. Plenty of companies tout their customer service and commitment, but many are all talk, no action. Boone and Tindall wanted to ensure that they didn't deliver forced customer service, defined by rule books and the execution of required tasks. The Container Store frees their people to trust their judgment and solve customers' problems by putting them in a position to succeed. A full-time salesperson at the Container Store receives about 241 hours of training. Compare that to an average of 7 hours for most retail businesses. By preparing people through training and throwing away the rule book, they created an environment where people do what it takes to assist coworkers and customers. Does your organization blend whimsy with business and pass on that warmth to customers?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to customerbliss.com.
Gene Bliss, and it's always a pleasure, Gene, to have you a part of the advertising show. We do thank you for that. Gene has been with us for quite a long time now. We appreciate her content and her insight into what's right with business as opposed to what's wrong with it. So here it is, ladies and gentlemen. It's not really a secret, but this is an amazing thing as we talk about technology and such. You might think that Brad and I sit together in a studio and look at each other through a piece of glass or something and see each other that way. The news is quite different than that. Actually, we are at this particular point in time about 7,000 miles apart. Is that about right?
No, I think closer to 4,000 or 5,000.
Or 5,000. Okay, that's pretty good. In other words, you are a little bit south of me in a little place that our listeners may have heard of called Maui, and from a studio where we are linked via our friends at Skype. That's not a commercial plug. Skype, you could do better sometimes with your signal. but all in all, it's really amazing. So that when you're talking to Brad, when you're hearing us talk to each other here, what you're hearing is instantaneous conversation back and forth in what sounds like a studio setting, which is really incredible when you think about it. And who knows, 5 years down the road here, we'll probably have a lot better. As a matter of fact, we will have much better communications tools. But in the meantime, I think that's pretty cool. So we're talking between Houston and Maui as far as connectivity goes. And, of course, we contact guests all around the world. And that is done via phone, and we use what's called a digital hybrid. Now you know the technical stuff about the show, of how we connect with our callers and such. So, and from time to time, Brad actually does head into Houston, and we get a chance to sit face to face in the studio here as well. Like the old days. Anyway, it's a pleasure to be serving you, and now you know a little bit more about the advertising show and about Ray and Brad. And brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at nh.com. The Advertising Show is a copyrighted Big Radio Midgets production.